We're in chapter 2. Oh my goodness, we've broken into chapter 2 today. This is amazing. So, this is chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. Listen now for a word from God that comes to us from St. Paul. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the consolation we experience together through your love and the sharing we can do in your Spirit. Be with us as we encounter this passage from Paul, and help us to take profit from it in Christ's name. Amen. So now we are getting into like a big anthem from Philippians. This is some good stuff. If you were just kind of waiting and treading water and, you know, not really tuned in, that's fine, because now we're getting to some good stuff. We got chapter 2, 1 through 11, and it's really kind of two parts. We got the 1 through 4 stuff, and then we got the 5 through 11, and everybody, when this passage comes up, when they see 2, 1 through 11, they forget the first four verses, and they go straight to the 5 to 11, because that's the hymn to Christ, right? Lots of hymns in our hymn book have these words. We've already sung one of them, right? That Jesus, though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. And then he's exalted. So it's this great piece, and it's beautiful. And we think a little bit as we read it, we think about who is Jesus for me? And what is it that Jesus does? And what does it mean to call Jesus Lord? And what does it mean that he's our Savior? And we get really wrapped up in it, and it's beautiful, and it's worthy of being wrapped up in for sure. However, Paul uses it specifically so he can talk about the stuff in 1 through 4. So probably this hymn to Christ, verses 5 through 11, was probably maybe a hymn that people had sung that they would know, you know, like God our help in ages past. You know, it would be a hymn that we would all know. And Paul just kind of references it, enough of it that it kind of turns their heads and they start to pay attention. And he adds little pieces here and there to kind of bring out his points. But we don't want to forget that he's talking about who Jesus is and what Jesus does for a purpose. So in the beginning of it, in verses 1 through 4, he says, if there is any encouragement in Christ. And when he says if, he doesn't mean if like, well, if there's any encouragement in Christ, and who knows these days. That's not the kind of if he means. It's more like since. If there is any encouragement in Christ, and there is. If there's any consolation from love, and I know that there is. If there's any sharing in the Spirit. Oh, sharing, that's important. That's koinonia, communion, community, fellowship, partnership, participation. That's a very important word. If there's any sharing in the Spirit, that's all the Spirit does. That's the Spirit's modus operandi. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all about sharing. They share everything, right? So if there's any sharing in the Spirit, and I know that there is, if there's any compassion and sympathy, and I know there is, Paul says, make my joy complete. Now we know joy is a big theme. This is kind of ringing all the bells here. Joy is a big theme in Philippians, right? We talked about joy a few weeks ago. Remember when I know you're trying to forget that we were in Malden Hall, but it's when we talked about joy. Talked about joy being sort of counterintuitive, paradoxical. Talked about joy being different than happiness. Talked about joy being mutual. Talked about a couple other things that I can't remember right now. A lot of things. I wrote them all down. I hope you did too. So this is, joy is the character of the Christian life. So he says, make my joy complete. Let it overflow. Let it have this fullness about it. Top off my joy, he says. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So this is that unity theme. Be unified. Be all together. You're all on the same team, right? All going in the same direction. Be of one accord and of one mind. And then that's the positive move. He wants this unity. And so he's now going to do some negatives. Do not. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. I think the key word for us is humility. Humility is important. And later on, he uses that word again, that Jesus humbled himself. So humility is something that I want us to sort of think about a little bit. I had a humbling experience on Friday night. So Liam is nine, like Maddie. He's 9 years old. He is not a professional soccer player, although, considering Elizabeth and my behavior, you would think that he was. You would think that he's already signed for UC Santa Barbara right now, because we attend practices in the evenings, we go to games on the weekend. I was told Liam participated in the Brandon Classic. I said, I don't know what's classic about this. She said, please be quiet. So at any rate, this was Friday was the last practice. I said, the last one ever? No, I was assured there will be another classic, another section coming up, but this was the last one for a time. The kids were supposed to go to the field at 7 o'clock. There would be pizza. Kids were encouraged to eat as much pizza as possible because the main event was parents versus kids soccer game. So I said, kids, keep eating that pizza. Get full, kids. Get full. Because part of humility is about kind of knowing who you are, knowing what your strengths are, knowing what position you can play, right? Not just in soccer, but in life. That's part of what humility is. So we're striving for humility. I want to make a distinction between humility and humiliation. Because I experienced both on Friday night. First of all, these kids, they're stuffing themselves with the pizza. I didn't eat a single piece, and I also had a very light dinner, because I knew that I was going to be playing some soccer. So, you know, I warmed up, and after I warmed up, I realized now is probably the time I should stop. I'm already tired. I looked at all those kids. They got a lot of juice in the tank, those kids. Talking 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, a lot of pepper, a lot of juice. So I started to think wise thoughts, humbling thoughts, like, well, they can run fast, but I know they're not going to pass. They've not figured out how passing is helpful. I looked around at the adult team. There's half as many of us. There's got to be 20, 30 kids on the field. I'm doing the math. 30 kids, they've got, we could have as many as 60 parents. Where's the parents? There's like 15 parents, you know, they're stretching. It's like, it's not your arms, man. It's all legs. Stretching, you know. The goalkeeper's getting ready. We're all out there. So I'm thinking, all right, these kids are going to run their little legs off. If I get the ball, probably don't have a lot of time before I'm swarmed by five or six kids. Made me feel a little bit like the hippo that you see, the hippo that's got the bird on his back. I don't know if the hippo likes that bird, but I felt swarmed. So I knew that probably what I could do was I could pass the ball. I saw a guy way downfield in a red shirt. He looked old, looked a little like geriatric like me. Figured he wasn't, you know, he wasn't real tall. He was maybe 5'7", but I figured he wasn't 11 years old. If I get the ball, I'm feeding it up to him. Red shirt, here we go. And that happened one time, but sometimes it only takes once, right? So that's what I could do. Now, that's humility, knowing where you fit, knowing what you can do, not being super prideful, not being, you know, a mat that people rub their feet off on, but just knowing where you fit, knowing your proper place. The humiliation part was more like when I started to feel a little bit too good about myself, a little too good about how things were going, and decided that I was going to take a break from being a defender and started trucking downfield, you know, got a pass, broke through. And then this little kid came up and kind of started to push me toward the sidelines, and I got off balance and I fell down. I did. I fell down, and he fell down too. I was really glad I didn't fall on him. Didn't fall on him. Fell near him. And then this mom says to me, "Careful. Careful. We don't bounce back like we used to." That's what she said to me. And I felt humiliated, a little humiliated. Felt better when about 12 minutes later she fell down. But I want you to know, I'm humble. I did not go over to her and say, "Careful, careful, we don't bounce back like we used to." I'm just telling you now. It makes me feel a little bit better. But that's kind of what humility is about. It's not being a doormat. We're not saying that the Christian life is let everyone wipe their feet on your face. That's not what the Christian life is about. Humility is about knowing who you are, knowing whose you are, knowing the gifts you have, using those gifts as the Spirit calls upon them, right? Playing your position, whatever it is, in the body of Christ. There's a saying that the rabbis have about, and I've sort of modified it to think about, you know, and you could do this. This would be a good Lenten practice, right? You can phone it in. Here's a good Lenten practice. You get two slips of paper. On one slip of paper, you write this: "For me, the universe was created." For me, the universe was created. You don't have to write it with your left hand. You can write it with your right. Put that in your pocket. But if you do that, that's a good one. That always feels good. You reach in your pocket throughout the day. Oh, what's that? Oh, for me, the universe was created. Ha-ha. Feels pretty good. You might even want to sing that classic hymn. "To me be the glory, great things I have done. So love me, the world that I made up this song." So you write, that's in one pocket. But you have to make sure to do the other slip of paper. That's what's coming up on Wednesday. And this is the one no one ever wants to do. "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." You have to do that one too. You have to put that in the other pocket. And that's what it is to live the life of humility, is to live the life between those two slips of paper. They're both true. And you've got to figure out how to balance that, how to live in and among and between those two realities. That for you, the universe was created. And remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So this is what Paul wants for us. It's what Paul wants for this church he loves so much. He wants them to be unified and to remember that it's important to put the other first. It's important to pass the ball and not always hold it for yourself, right? That's what humility is about. To put others, and not to be selfish, not to be focused on conceit, but instead to think of the other. And so during this Lenten time that's going to begin on Wednesday, we want to think about how we can follow Jesus' great example. And that's what the second half of the passage is all about. That Jesus the one who shared equality with God, the one that St. John says was God in the beginning, before the beginning was a beginning. There he was, the Word made flesh, and God in the flesh empties himself in Jesus Christ, pours himself out, humbles himself. You could almost say that Jesus is God's humiliation, especially on the cross, right? Right? When Jesus is humbled and obedient to death. And then Paul, I think Paul adds this little bit. He says, even death on a cross, that's worse, right? It's bad enough to die. But to die as someone convicted of a capital crime, right, in Rome, to die and to be put outside of the city, stripped naked, this death was a death that was cursed by the law. This is the emptying of God for us. So Jesus becomes role model beyond compare. And if Christ can pour himself out and humble himself, humiliate himself in this way, we can start to think about what it's like for us to take small steps toward not being humiliated, but to be more and more humble ourselves, right? And Lent is a great playground for that. Lent is a great ball field for humility, right? It's a great place for us to live between those realities of, for you, the universe was created. And remember, you are dust. To dust you shall return. Or to put it in terms of, I was thinking about Saturday Night Live. I'm too old and too sore to stay up and watch the show. But, you know, the church lady isn't that special. So you can put on the back of the one that says, for you, the universe is created. You could put, remember, you are special. And then on the other one that says, remember, you're dust, and to dust you shall return. The flip side of that one says, but you're not that special. So is everybody else. They're all special too. So this is where we're at. And this is the playground of Lent. And I'm excited for you to figure out what the Spirit is saying to you, to the angel of your heart, as you figure out how to pass the ball more and how to live a more and more humble life as Jesus was humble for us.